Good to be here this morning. It's good to see everyone here. You know, in life, when you purchase something or if you're wanting to do something, you kind of want some assurances, right? You like those guarantees, right? You like to know that it has like a warranty or something that's going to hold up. Well, life's that way. There's a lot of uncertainties in this life. There's a lot of things in this life that are unsure. But brethren, there's one thing that we are sure of. And if you're not sure of it, prove it. That's the Word of God. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's sure. You know, we sang that song on solid rock. All other ground is what? Sinking sand, but not on Jesus and His Word. And His Word is just constantly reminding us of His power, of His diligence, about His everything that He does for us. Like I said, there's nothing more sure than that. And we just don't have the adequate amount of time to go through all of them, but I just want to hit a few high points. You know, I'm not trying to take up too much of the time this morning, but you know, if the Lord would be with us this morning, just I'd like for us to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and just in the interest of time, like I said, just trying to get a few highlights, a few points. Let's begin in verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, Peter writes, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." Now, pause right there. What is Peter referring to? What is Peter referring to as his eyewitness? Now, obviously, Peter was with the Lord Jesus Christ here in his earthly ministry. He was able to be with Him. Can you imagine being able to be with Jesus? Being so close that you could hold on to Him if you wanted to. He was able to be there. But this particular account that he's talking about, do you remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Just real quick, let's go to Luke chapter 9 real quick. We'll come back to Peter in a few minutes. Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. Let's do just a little reading just to set everything. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. "And it came to pass about in 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James, and went unto the mount to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, 'Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for ye, one for Moses, and one for Elias,' not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.'" Hear him. You remember, back over in Peter, he said that for he received, this is in verse 17 in 2 Peter chapter 1, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when he came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized? We heard this saying then, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But on the mount, there was something else added to it. Hear ye him. You remember Peter? I identify with Peter a lot. You know, I shoot my mouth off sometimes before I've had time to think about it. You know, his mouth will get you in trouble. You know, I could kind of see where Peter was talking about. You know, let's build three tabernacles. But he's missing the point. Hear ye him, Jesus Christ. Those two men that were with Jesus talking about his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. You had Moses and Elijah. Those two, one, Moses representing the law, and Elijah representing the prophecies. Who is the fulfillment of the law and the prophecies? Jesus Christ. If you want to know about the prophecies, were the prophecies sure? Yes, they're sure because Jesus came and fulfilled them. That law service that they had in the Old Testament. Well, we don't have the law service anymore, right? Why? Because Jesus Christ came and fulfilled that law. He's the fulfillment of it. We don't need three tabernacles, right? We only need the one for Jesus Christ. So, Peter was saying, for we have not followed, back in verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. These aren't just stories. These aren't just things that we can think of. No, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We were made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Brother, I tell you, if you ever needed some encouragement, if you ever needed some assurity that what you believe is accurate, can you imagine being there with Jesus on that mount and his countenance was changed and you saw him in his glory? If there was any doubt, that should have eliminated all of it right there, right? You would think, right? That should have eliminated all doubt. Just the glimpses that the Lord blesses us to have. And Peter talking about his count, the eyewitness account. He was one of those three that was with him. Don't you know that emboldened him? Don't you know that helped him in being more powerful with his preaching? But this was before Calvary. Do you know what happened after the crucifixion? They all fled. They were fearful. What happened? That's us, human nature. When we're not fully trusting in God, our faith can be shaken. Oh, ye of little faith, remember? How many times does that apply to me? I'd rather not tell you. Being honest, I'd rather not tell you. But another thing is we have the accounts, this word of God that we have here. Brethren, we're the blessed to be on this side of Calvary. We have the full account. We have the fulfillment of all the law and the prophecies. We have it here in printed form, not only in printed form, but printed form that we can read in our language. It's so readily available. So, no, we weren't there with Peter when he saw the Lord's countenance change. We didn't see him in his glory, but we have his account of it. We have it right here. That's why we have to walk by faith, right? We're not eyewitnesses, but we have an eyewitness right here. And like I said when I started, if you don't know about it, if you're unsure about it, prove him. Try him out. Trust in the Lord. He'll never fail you. You know, if you put your faith in me, at some point I'm going to fail you. I may not do it intentionally. I try not to do it intentionally. But at some point, I'm going to fail you. But the Lord will never fail you. And this is what Peter's trying to tell us. For we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And we heard the voice. In verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto the light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy came of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not just something somebody thought up. This word of God is not just a collection of good people's thoughts. No. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This word is of God. It's His word. You know, when you're reading a work of man, you know, he can have a lot of good thoughts. He can have a lot of good edification in there. But it has to be based on the Word of God, or it's useless. And sometimes we'll read something and we'll have to, you know, like eat the chicken and spit out the bones, right? If it doesn't coincide with this Word, we need to deal away with it. This is our standard. This is of no private interpretation. You know, we have 66 books, and several assortment of different penmen, people that pen these words down for us, but there's only one author. God the Father. God the Word brought forth this. This is His Word. This is His Word. It's His truth. So we have Peter telling us that he was more assured of this Word. Because why? Because, well, he was an eyewitness. That eliminated all doubt. And then after that, I know Peter deserted the Lord. I know he denied him three times. I know he did that. But do you remember when Jesus was told, go tell Peter, after he arose? And even after his resurrection body, he was standing there and appeared to him. You remember doubting Thomas? Do you remember him? I said, I'll not believe until I thrust my finger in his hand or in his side. Did the Lord speak harshly to him? No. Again, the Lord was assuring him. He said, prove me. Put your finger in the hole. Thrust your hand to the side. He even said, do you have something to eat? And he ate something in front of them to prove to them. Brethren, we have the true, accurate Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul writes to Timothy, says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. You mean this word has everything we need?
Yeah.
Yes. That's what it means. It has everything we need. It's thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We want to do good in this life. We need to read this word. We want to do good. And we, like Peter said, take heed to it, right? Because this is a sure word of prophecy. Because it's true. It's accurate. There's going to be plenty of people that are trying to tell you there's contradictions in it. You know, it's, yeah, you can only take it so far. No. This is the inerrant word of God. The fulfillment of the law and all the prophecies. All the prophecies were in the Old Testament been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. The Word that was made flesh. It's His Word. it's right. It's accurate. If you're wanting to something for an surety, if you're wanting a guarantee, you can't get any better than this. And this is going to help us in our life. So, in our life, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we know that it's not by any private interpretation, like Peter was saying. And it is profitable. We want our lives to be profitable. I do. I want to be a profitable servant. And the only way to be a profitable servant in this life is by living by this word. But he says in verse 17 that the man of God may be what? Perfect. Thoroughly furnished. It's a thorough furnisher for us. And we can use it in our day-to-day life. And some people say, well, you know, that's fine and dandy, but I'm just not sure if I've done enough good to go to heaven. Have you ever heard that before? They're worried about that. They're worried if they've done enough good. I just want to tell them about the salvation of grace. You know, what the Lord has done. You're right. You're absolutely right. You haven't done enough good to go to heaven. I haven't. I never will. But thanks be unto God, it's not by me. It's not by works, right? But Paul also told Timothy in the chapter ahead, chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 19. You know, he was talking about the other ones that are trying to preach that the resurrection had already passed and overthrown the faith of some. You know how some people can get their faith shaken and rattled? Paul was reassuring Timothy. In verse 19, he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. What is that seal? The Lord knoweth them that will be his? No. It says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If we're going to be departing from iniquity, if we're going to try to go in that straight and that narrow way, if we're going to try to do better in our life, we need the Word of God. And like I said before, what Paul was telling Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is not some private interpretation. It is of God. We can use it, and we can use it freely. There may be some things that you don't understand. There's some things I still don't understand. And I may go to my grave before I understand all of it. More than likely. But how much are we asking the Lord to help us with it? How much are we asking the Lord to help us? It's His Word, right? If there's anybody that can help you with it, it would be Him. And He's faithful and just. And if we ask, isn't that one of the promises? Ask, and it should be given. Knock and it shall be opened, right? I think it was James that said that you have not because what? You ask not. So how much are we asking? How much are we depending and trusting in His Word? Like we started over in Peter. Verse 16 in Peter, 2 Peter. I get all these numbers and quit. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Brethren, this is the true and inerrant Word of God. And we can be like Peter. We can be like those eyewitnesses. Because we can see in our life, if we're proving Him, if we're leaning on His understanding, if we're trying to trust in Him, trying the best we can, He's going to be our helper. And He will help. And He can grant peace to our life when there is no peace around. It's the only way to have peace in this life, actually, is through Jesus, our Lord. So remember, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Brethren, this Word of God is not cunningly devised fables. It's the truth, and it's powerful. So let's avail ourselves to it each and every day. You know, Peter was talking about being an eyewitness. Well, Paul was an eyewitness too, right? Especially on the road to Damascus, that light struck him down. It was Jesus Christ. So we have eyewitnesses. And we have His Word. And we have the Spirit of God flowing within us. I want you to know, if you've ever been reading a passage of Scripture and just been enjoying it, and you just feel within you, you're rejoicing. That's the Spirit within you that's rejoicing at the sound of this Word. And if you want to feel more of that, we need to indulge more into this Word. Can you read too much? You can never have too much exposure to this Word. You can watch too much television. You can eat too much. You can drink too much. But you can never read and expose yourself to this Word too much. So, brothers and sisters, always remember, in this life, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. This is the power of God. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. Appreciate it.